You know, ever since the foundation of this denomination, and I love to read my history, especially our own denomination's history. Since this denomination was founded way back, 17th of March, 51, not that many miles from here. In fact, in the very place that we stood this afternoon at the funeral service of the Clerk of Session there, in the village of Crossgar, this church has had at its core the principles of evangelism and gospel outreach. That might continue. In fact, back in the early days, especially the men who left secular employment, the men who very often at great personal cost and willing sacrifice, especially in the early days, as I've said, were those who were burdened to reach the lost with the good news of the gospel that Jesus saves. The Reverend Dr. Alan Kearns, originally actually from the Craig area in Belfast, that area that we spent some time, was one of those principal individuals. In fact, when we go back into his history, as well as calling him into the Christian ministry and equipping him, giving him those various spiritual gifts that he would need, those abilities he would need, over five decades ago, the Lord God himself gave Dr. Kearns a specific burden. That burden was to see a work established. Remember why I'm here tonight. The work of Let the Bible Speak. That God-given burden was to see a work established that he would bring under the governance of our own presbytery, Let the Bible Speak, as under our presbytery body that would reach many, many more than might ever come into any of our churches, any of our, to listen to the message from any of our pulpits, or even listen to us as we might go out. I'm so encouraged to hear about the open air ministry here in Dromore. His burden, and others with him as well, soon to follow him, was to have the living word of the living God broadcast over the airwaves via the medium of radio, into the homes, into the businesses, into the ears, into the hearts of many precious individuals for whom Christ died. And indeed, that burden, that vision became a reality right back in 1973, over 48 years ago. That burden became a reality. Initially, of course, you will know maybe more about the history of Let the Bible Speak, more about it than me. But initially on one single radio station, it was Manx Radio in those early days, broadcasting there in the Isle of Man, the work and witness of Let the Bible Speak had begun. And the aim, and indeed the desire, of all those involved in the work in the beginning, in those early days, remains exactly what it is to this very day. And it was simply to do what it's entitled. I love the name. Let the Bible Speak. I'm sure you're well familiar with what the prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 55. Perhaps you'll turn to those words, Isaiah 55, verse 11, especially one of those well-known texts. But let us read a few of the verses preceding it, because this is the Lord himself speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Why, very often that proves to be the case. I see many of you, most of you, are turning to Isaiah 55. Verse 8 reads, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. There's always that rebellion within us. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, that lovely illustration there. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. You know something of the farming practice of planting and indeed reaping. God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. And this promise that we hold on to today, as did the men all those years ago. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. As I said a moment ago, right from its very inception, right from the very beginning in those early days, even though the work was restricted to just one single radio station, that work today has expanded to be a worldwide mission. Expanded and grown to include a radio ministry that goes around a lot of the world. The television ministry, you know something about that. In fact, we're thankful today to have that opportunity opened up a little bit as restrictions ease and we're able to bring congregations back in again. For the last 2 years, we've had to use old footage and splice it in and make it look like as a man preaches from a pulpit to empty pews down there at our studios in Lurgan to make it look like it's full of people. Now we're actually able to bring, in fact, that is one of the pleas. That is one of the things that I'm able to ask and request of congregations such as this, grassroots supporters, that you might be able to make your way over to the studios during the recording. There's some at the end of this month. Remember the last verse of our opening hymn? You think there's nothing that you can do? Even to sit amongst those pews might be something you might consider. The television ministry, the Lord is blessing it in a mighty way right across the British Isles on Revelation TV every Wednesday, twice a day. The details are in the back of the little flyer you'll get when you go home. There's the outreach from the shop on Banbridge. We never dreamt at the very beginning, over 2 years ago, we never dreamt that it would be such an effectual means just to have a shop unit there on Rathrylland Street. But people come, make a beeline for it from all over the country, from the Republic of Ireland, from even further afield, come up to get source material and things to be able to use in their outreach. One of the big requests at the minute is, as it has been from the very start, second-hand copies of the Word of God. Imagine the hunger that there is. Imagine that I would come along and tell you about the hunger for the Word of God just a few miles down the road. There's all other things as well. There's the quarterly magazine that goes out. There's the actual website itself. There's even some of the old original means. Well, maybe not original, but the CD ministry and things like that as well. But it all started off from just one radio station. But I want us to think, just for a little moment or two, about this verse that we hope to open up just a little bit. I want us to think of it under this heading, very simply. Look at verse 12. Because here we have a description, a lovely, vivid, wonderful, vibrant, alive description of the living Word of the living God. I think sometimes we need to be reminded of what we already know. The fact that this is the living Word of the living God. It's so easy to become over-familiarized with something and not to take it in, the importance and the blessing of what we do have in our own mother tongue. First thing that I want us to think about, and look at verse 12, we see it here right in the text. Look at the first words, in fact. For the word of God is quick and powerful and so on. We have the source of this word. Two words that I want to highlight you and bring your attention to there at the very opening clause of verse 12. For the word of God. Two words. Of God. It's so easy to skip past the small words. Let's go to the big words and see what they really mean. Of God. We can forget about that. You see, the source, the origin of this is not merely Paul. And of course, many will disagree and argue, and some think that believe this not to be Paul as the author. It's not his style of writing and all the rest of it. Well, if I was to send you a text message, it might be very different from what I might send my wife or somebody else. We tailor our style depending on the audience. But those things are not the important thing. The important thing is that this is the Word of God that we're considering this evening. To realize how powerful it is. This is from none other than the Lord Himself. In fact, there's other scriptures that attest to that. You think about that verse, in fact, perhaps you'll turn to it and keep a finger in it because we'll turn back to it again and again. 2 Timothy, again, Paul being the author, very clear there. There's no argument over that. There's no contention over that, that Paul was writing to his son in the faith, not one, but two epistles or letters. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He speaks to Timothy regarding this word. Yet again, Paul can hardly pull himself away from the theme of what he is holding here, the Word of God, the Scripture. What does he say about it on this occasion? 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, very well-known verse, attesting to the inspiration of Scripture. Again, we have that same little phrase, that same couplet, those same two words. All Scripture, Paul writes, is given by inspiration, literally breathed out inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and so on. From the pen of another, inspired to write, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Again, Peter attests to the same truth, knowing this first, this principal truth, as he nails it down, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This word originates with none other than God Himself, inspired by Him. That's why it is such a powerful tool to be wielded in the hand of the child of God. Let the Bible speak. I love to read the book of Revelation. Some are scared of it. Some will say, oh, you can't go near that. It deals with themes that we find difficult and all the rest of it. Well, if God gives us anything in His Word, it's for our use, for our teaching, for our learning. In fact, we have here everything that we will need in Revelation chapter 1. At the very beginning, we read this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servants God, who bear record of the word of God. In fact, we read that little phrase throughout Scripture over and over and over again, speaking of and attesting to the truth of the fact that this is indeed the word of God. Not merely a production of a church or some creed or some confession or some subordinate standard as we refer to our other documents other than the Word of God. They're taken from and agreeable to the Word of God, but this is the Word of God itself coming from His blessed hand. And I just wonder, do we really realize, a challenge to myself, application to my own soul, do we genuinely realize and understand what it is that we hold in our own hands, in our own mother tongue? How precious this book is. Isn't it wonderful how, even in the beginning, I was preaching recently from Genesis, the fall, and how the evil one came in right at the very beginning. In fact, the first time we meet him in the pages of sacred Scripture, questioning the Word of God. In fact, with Eve, outright denying the truth of what God said, because he's always trying to pull it down in our hearts. Or maybe he succeeded. Maybe it's already taking that lower place than it once did. May the Lord cause us to lift up and to exonerate and to exalt the precious Word of God as it is, the verbally inspired Word of God. That's why the preaching of the Word is central to all that we do in Let the Bible Speak. Whether it's on the radio station, the central piece is the preaching part. Whether it's on the television broadcast, again, the preaching of the Word. It's lovely to have the singing and the other things as well that are involved in good, proper biblical Christian worship, but at the center of it all is the preaching of God's Word. The same with the magazine productions and the material that goes out from the shop and all the rest of it. The central part of it all has to be and always needs to be and has been from the very commencement of the work of Let the Bible Speak, away back in 1973, the preaching of the Word. How important it is. And what hunger there is. What hunger there is in the lost, the unseen, to come in and to get copies of the Word of God. Again, that renewed appeal for Bibles, for second-hand copies, new copies as well, all the better. And they're given out at a nominal fee that others might share in holding the Word of God in their mother tongue. I remember we went down south to do the outreach at the ploughing mat. And I remember a group of fellas come in, it was shocking weather, and a group of farmers come in, young fellas in their dealer boots and, you know, their jeans, and they were all cool and all the rest of it, 7 or 8 of them. I remember them all coming in one day and walking around and sort of casually looking, hands in the pocket, and one of them hanging back till his mates were a wee bit out of shot, and then he lifted a Bible. And one of the men there in the stall that day, that was for the ploughing match outreach, one of the men in the stall said to him about lifting the Bible, and he says, you know, we don't have a Bible in my house. Imagine this. We don't have a Bible in the house, and I've always wanted a Bible. Imagine that. Didn't want his mates to know. Such hunger for the Scriptures. And he says, I plan to take this Bible that I've just lifted from your stall, free Bibles. He didn't think he was stealing. That's not why he was sneaking it in, so his mates wouldn't see him. He says, I plan to take that home. And I know he had it all planned out in his own head, that he would go outside, go down the yard, into the hay shed, and he had it all planned exactly where he would sit and read the Word of God. I'm telling you, that's a challenge to my soul. Do I do that? I have a full shelf of Bibles, big Bibles, my preaching Bible, and Bibles that I would take for open airs, and Bibles with some particular meaning because somebody gave me that, so many Bibles. Do I take them down and use them and read them and study them as that young fellow intended to do? Do we appreciate what we have? We better move on. We thought about the source of the Word, but what about the subjects? Who is this for? The subjects of the Word. Who is this Word for? Look at the verse again. Look at verse 12. Essentially, we're not going to just remain in this verse, but it tells us here, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That little phrase, is quick. What does it mean? I often thought about that. It means it is alive. In fact, it means much more than that. No two words in the English mean the same thing. If that was the case, you could do away with one of them and just leave the other remaining word. It means much more than alive. It means full of life, full of vitality. Let me put it this way. Think about the context of the verse. Think about the word that the Holy Spirit has chosen to place there. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. This word is for those who are spiritually not alive, because it makes alive. It is for those who are spiritually dead. In fact, that particular word in the original, it occurs some 144 times in the New Testament Scriptures. It means, one of its meanings is to pass life or to breathe a manner of life, powerful and efficacious, life-giving word. And of course we know that to be the truth. Those of us that are saved this evening know that from our own experience, because it was whenever the Word of God was opened up to us that the Lord did something within us. We know that the living Word of God has the power to make alive. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we are so encouraged as the Word of God goes forth from the radio stations, especially in places like Nepal, where they really haven't heard much good sound preaching, if any at all. Especially in places where they've never heard the Word of God preached as it is on the radio and on the television and all the rest of it. There are signs following the preaching of God's Word. We're so encouraged about that. And it's through your efforts, through your prayers, through your support of the recordings in Lurgan or the shop in Banbridge. There's another shop opening very soon around Easter, shortly after Easter. I think it's Thomas Street in Armagh. Better premises, more on the ground floor, and a better floor layout and all the rest of it. It's through your help, your assistance, here in places like this, at the grassroots, that these works are going forth at the other side of the world. We mightn't ever be able to stand in the land of Nepal and these places where the word of God, the places that you'll see in a moment or two on the video. I might never be able to stand in those places, but where we kneel, where we support with the widow's mite. In fact, that first hymn talked about you may not be able to give your thousands, your big sums, but how the Lord uses that widow's mite, the penny, the little sums, the prayer. You set aside time every day, set times whereby we might pray and plead for the Lord to work through the means of let the Bible speak on these things. Because the Word of God, and only God through His Word, has the power to make a dead thing live, to make the impossible possible. May we be encouraged this evening. You only have to think about those who have been reached by the work and witness of LTBS. In fact, those radio stations in the land of Nepal can reach a population of around, we think here is big. We think Northern Ireland's big. There's about 1.7 or 1.8 million people here. Over there in that valley alone, there's about 5 million people who can listen in to the Word of God as it goes forth. And in fact, there's many, I think it's 100 to 150 letters every month coming in requesting information, requesting Bibles, requesting books, requesting follow-up. And in fact, churches have been planted in a mighty way as a result of the Word of God going forth. Of course, the Word of God is for the edification of the child of God as well. Look at verse 12 again. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It has that double effect. It is the effect of bringing the life to the dead, those that are dead in their sins. But what about the backslider? What about those of us that are seeking to go on with the Lord? If you listen or watch any of those television broadcasts on the Wednesday, probably about half of them are straight out and out gospel messages. Others are messages of encouragement for the Christian. Many of them are what we would know as double barrel messages, that they might have the effect on both sides. In fact, we're asked you to keep your finger a moment ago in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture given by inspiration of God, the second aspect, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 tells us who it's for, that the man of God may be perfect. That means complete. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It's not only for the unsaved. It's for every category of sinner. God's word does not. Remember that first verse we read from Isaiah 55? God's word does not miss its mark, as we often do. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And then we've another little thought, and it will be little. What is the substance of the Word? What does it contain? What is there at its very essence? You see, within this sacred volume, we have everything that we need to know for salvation. We have everything we need to know of what is expected of us in this life and for preparation for the next. We have the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is at its core. His cross work, His finished work, is there for us to see. And I thank the Lord that so many have come as a result of the Word of God going forth through these means that are rehearsed over and over already. Because Christ and His finished work are the central message of this book. I love what we read there in John chapter 5, verse 38, and especially verse 39. This is the Lord speaking. He says, what an encouragement for us. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. But listen this, at the end of the verse, remember the first part of the verse? Search the Scriptures. What a command. What an instruction from the Son of God. Search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. He is to be found in the sacred volume. In fact, that's what we learn in the Shorter Catechism. Many of us have learned it by heart. The Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, is the only rule to direct us how we glorify and enjoy Him. That's the Second Catechism. In fact, the third one goes on to this. What do the Scriptures principally teach? The Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God, number one, and secondly, what duty God requires of man. He is the central theme. Oh, I love that account of how the Lord Jesus Christ drew alongside the two who were walking with their shoulders rolled forward and their chin in their chest. I like to think of them as a husband and wife walking home with bad news in their hearts. Maybe it wasn't. We're not definitively told in the Scriptures, and I'll tell you why. It doesn't really matter. Two disciples were walking home, and they were downcast, and they were despondent, and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself drew nigh. I often think what it must have been like, especially later on, how He was made known to them in the breaking of bread. But we read there in that lovely portion, in Luke chapter 24, verse 25, 26, and 27, where He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Is that not a challenge to us? How slow we are to believe what the Word of God clearly says in black and white. How slow we are. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? Remember, this is Christ speaking Himself. They at that stage didn't know it. But then we read these lovely words. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, because that's what they all point to Christ and His finished work. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures, that word all, over and over again, repeated, it's there for a reason. Expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And that's what's been put out across the airwaves. That's what's been put out across the internet. That's what's put out in paper form. In fact, your pennies, your pounds, your support helps pay for full-time workers in the land of Nepal. We give a contribution toward that Nepalese work whereby those individuals might go out and share the gospel. Sit down with people in their own homes and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ through His precious word. You think of that. You see, in this book, we have a message for everyone, saint and sinner alike, the saved and the lost. We're to preach the word. We're to be instant in season, out of season. We're to reprove, we're to rebuke, we're to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And it can only go forth with grassroots support from people like you and me. Are we not so encouraged to be part of this work, even to be here in the meeting tonight? There's one final thing that I want to just mention because our time's gone. And that is the effects of the word. Look at verse 12. Look at the last part of our text. Chapter 4, verse 12, the last part. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We're really just scratching the surface in this verse. God's word. And God, through His word, is the only thing that can truly change a man, a woman, a child. Pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You see that in the middle of the verse? And of the joints and marrow, what is that a reference to? Gets right in where nothing else can. Where no preacher can, where no preacher's words can, God's word can get in there. And is a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. No other instrument fashioned by the hand of man can reach where the word of God. You'll see it. In fact, I'll let you into a secret. I haven't seen this new video. I think there's slight changes. But if it's anything like the last one, you'll be able to see encouragements of how the Word of God can get where no preacher can get. And that's into the very prison cell in Scotland and in England. There's a man called Kevin who's been reached. You think about the van driver through London. You'll see again those 5, 13-minute radio slots in the middle of the night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, an odd time. You think about the van drivers driving up and down the street. You think about all those Amazon drivers. What are they listening to? Could it be that they're listening to some of those broadcasts? You think about a housewife standing, maybe with the headphones on, listening to something as it goes out. What could she be listening to? She could be listening to the preaching of God's word through LTBS. God and God alone knows how effectual, and maybe only eternity will reveal, just how the Lord has been pleased to use your support and these teams as the word of God goes forth. I trust that we'll be encouraged. The video is about 15 minutes, or almost 16, 15 minutes, 47 seconds, I think it is. We're going to watch it now. I trust the Lord will encourage us. We're going to sing the hymn and then get down to our time. But we trust the Lord will bless us even through these few stammering remarks, and that he might encourage us to pray on and to press on with this work that has begun all those years ago. Thank you, gentlemen.